All right, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo, and this is tape number 24 regarding the life in the Lord by drinking and eating the Lord. Now, the promise of God is the dish that we drink and eat Christ out of. And it's like the promises are like a dish that's, we have to believe, we have to receive the promises. Amen? You have to draw the dish to you to eat Christ. Okay, but we're going to continue on here. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Father, there's only one justifiable faith. And Lord, anoint the words in this message. Open up the hearts, minds, and the souls so that their will be counted as the actual vessel along with their understanding as to what the word of God is and what faith is. Knowledge is not enough. We have to have the will coupled with the knowledge in order for us to be justified by faith. Lord, we thank and praise your holy name. Anoint my words, my mouth, and anoint everybody's heart and soul, and open up their hearts that their will be to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, let's go.
Prophesying is the work of prophets.
Right. That's a work of faith, is prophesying. And then what?
The two witnesses get their name from their work, and that work is prophesying.
I touched on that a few weeks ago. Okay, then what?
To declare the will and purpose of God, or to act as his ambassador and mouth, is what it is to fill the office of a prophet.
In order to do that, it has to be faith. Okay. Because this is not a matter of knowledge. It's knowledge coupled with the will to do the Father's will within us in order to have justifiable faith. Then what else?
Aaron was a spokesman and a mouth for Moses.
Right, so he was the prophet of Moses, right? Because he did the talking. Okay, then what else?
To be the agent or instrument through which God utters himself to men, whatever is the nature or the subject of the utterance, is to prophesy.
That is the same thing as prophesying. Okay, and then what else?
Every individual Christian is a confessor of the true God, in whose confession is the will and purpose of God in Christ.
Right. Every true Christian is a prophet. And if you're not a prophet, then you're not a true Christian. Read that line again.
Every individual Christian is a confessor of the true God, in whose confession is the will and purpose of God in Christ.
And you're nothing more than a hypocrite if your will, if you just preach one thing and your will does not cause you to execute the same that you're preaching. The Pharisees preached the truth, and the Lord says, do what they say, but don't do what they do, because they're hypocrites. They just talk. They don't have a faith that is justifiable. Then what?
Jesus is testified and proclaimed.
Right. That's what the whole message is about, is Jesus. Then what?
No one can become a Christian or continue a faithful walk without this. So every genuine Christian is a real prophet.
No, so you can't be a Christian unless you are a prophet. Don't say you're a Christian unless there is a prophesying coming out of your mouth throughout the day. And not temporarily, because temporary faith is not justifiable before the Lord. That's the same kind of faith that just springs up for a while and then just fizzles out. Or it does what the Lord says now and then. This is not going to justify the Lord allowing you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then what else?
God speaks through him continually.
Through a true Christian. If you're not, if God is not uttering himself unto others through you, then you're not a Christian. Well, my people look at me as though I'm crazy or something. But that's the truth. The whole church is a prophet. What else are Christians called for but to prophesy? Amen?
Yeah.
And I give is also to judge. The Bible says, know ye not that ye shall judge the world? And then the psalmist David stated that this honor belongs to all the saints, all right, to judge. And so while you're prophesying, you're judging the world. We're judging the world. If you're not speaking, you're not judging, you're not telling people of their sins. And this honor only belongs to the saints. And if you're not a saint, you don't enter the kingdom of heaven. If you're not a saint, you're not a Christian. Because judging is a matter that belongs to the prophets, and every Christian, true Christian, genuine Christian, is a prophet. Not a bookkeeper, not a typist, not a school teacher, not a dishwasher, a prophet. You've got it all wrong. You know, Christianity is not to be toyed with. Not somebody that's looking for some self-satisfaction in the world, but somebody that's they've made it up their will to be the will of the Father. And what is the Father's will is that people are saved. Amen? Amen. The Lord came into the world to save souls. And what good are you? You're not a saver of souls. Well, one, you're not one of God's spokesmen or prophets or mouths that he speaks from or he utters himself through to mankind. If you're nothing to him, you're like chaff. If you are not prophesying. Prophesying is merely telling, judging the world. And I like to do that because the Lord likes to do it through me, and so it's his will to do it, and I do too. I judge because how can I judge the world in the kingdom of heaven if I will not judge them now? I tell them, listen, if you don't do thus in this that the Lord tells all of us to do, then you're going to be, here's my judgment from the Lord, that you're going to hell. And I tell the church, because judgment begins at the church, at the house of God. So I'm telling the church, and because he says, told John to get a measuring reed, like a rod, and measure, judge the church first, because measurement is a form of judgment. And that's the same thing as judging. And so I can judge by dead people in the church that they to be thrown out aside to the outer court, for this is for the nations, those that don't pay any attention to what the Lord says. They're not aware. They're not awake. They're sleepers. And the Lord says, awake, all you sleepers. I've got a job for you to do, and I want you to do it with zeal. Make sense? Or is this scriptural, or am I talking crazy here?
No.
Okay? So if you're not prophesying, you're a nothing. Don't call yourself a Christian. They say, well, we read and pray, but do you prophesy? You judge. With the Lord's judgment, that is, of course. If you don't, you people don't even train people in the house how to do chores. So you're not judging what they do. I mean, and those of you that don't do such a thing as that, you got people that are working in cafeterias, in the churches, in the home church, and in the commissary, or the place where food is prepared. And they don't keep the place clean. And those same people that don't keep the place clean eventually might get poisoned themselves and die because they don't do what the Lord says. They're not Christians. It's not their will to be clean and neat and to do everything as unto the Lord, which would be perfect. He says, you people, he says, you give me offerings that are burnt offerings, that are blind and that are lame. He said, would you go to the governor of the state of Arkansas and bring such a wretched thing to him? And I'm God. Now, if you're truly on the altar, then you're going to be led by my spirit. You're going to be prophesying. You're going to be judging the world. Otherwise, you don't have faith. You've lost your faith, and you've lost your hope. It's hopeless. You're hopeless. There's no hope for you to enter the kingdom of heaven if you're not a viable, working member of the organic, corporate body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we read and pray. That's not enough. That's for you. What about the souls in the world? How come you don't prophesy to them? Why aren't you not interested in winning their souls? Well, we pass out tracts. That's not enough. You have the Lord wants your mouth. Amen?
Amen?
He wants your entire being. And he doesn't want you to be hypocritical about it, to be saying things that you've learned, and then you yourself are not doing what the Lord says to do. You're not on the altar. In other words, you're not dead. It's you that is living and not the Lord in you. You're not dead yet. You're not dead to the world and to Satan, the devil. Okay, keep going.
His life and career on earth is a Christian confessor.
Yeah, you're to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't the Bible say that?
Yes.
Well, then don't be saying that you read and pray and that's enough. You have to be a soul winner. Then what?
It's a continuous prophesying against the wickedness of the world and in the church.
Right. I say continuous to the world, but also to the church. Because the church is dead. You know, in the book of Revelations, the Lord says he's talking to the churches. He's warning them of the wrath to come. And he's warning them that he's going to spit you out of his mouth completely if you are not revived in some way. There has to be a preacher or a teacher or somebody that's going to prophesy. I'm prophesying to you right now and to the church and to the world, because I know that my tracts, my literature goes out to the world. But I also preach to the church as the Lord does, and the Lord has to have a spokesman. He has to be living in or continuing in his incarnation in human beings that have become God men and God women. Otherwise, you're a very wicked thing yourself. And you're preaching to people, or you say, yes, I'm reading about the wickedness of the world. It's just wicked. We're not going to have anything to do with it. We're not going to try to win anybody's soul because we're too righteous. And you thump yourself on your chest and on your head, and there's no value to you whatsoever. Because you're not. There's no salt, no savor in you. You don't make a difference in the world, or to the world, or to the church either. There are people in the church that don't report anything that the devil is doing in the church. And therefore, many people have fallen away. You protect each other. The devils in the church protect one another. Because they don't have justifiable faith. They don't have the faith that's going to justify them when they stand before the Lord at the judgment bar of God. Because you suffer Satan to continue on in the church. And it's no wonder that you suffer Satan to continue on in the world without being judged. You're miserable and wretched and blind and naked and worthless. That's why, you know, if you're not going to apply eyes after yourself, let me do it for you. But you better listen to what I'm saying. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
His life and career on earth is a Christian confessor, a continuous prophesying against the wickedness of the world, in the world and in the church, of the necessity of the life of Christ, living a life of godliness in and through us.
Yes, and you have to tell people that that's what you have to do. Tom, you're just living a wretched life. All you do is read and pray. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. The devils believe and tremble. John says, didn't he? So what, you believe? But what kind of faith do you have? Then what?
It is to show the way of salvation in Christ to the world.
We have to show the way of salvation of Christ, the salvation in Christ to the world. And to one another, you have to show, not just with words, but by Christ living in you, so that they can see the death of Christ in you and the life of Christ in you. As I said in the message yesterday. Then what else?
Quote, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? 1 Corinthians 6.
So that we have to judge the world? Here. Or you'll be judged. Because if you don't judge the world, you'll be judged for not judging the world and the church. If you don't turn people in for things that they're doing in this church, then you're already judged. And I'm judging you right now by the word of God, because you're not. You're suffering Satan to continue his work in this church. You're hiding things and keeping secrets. And you're guilty. Because you're not even affording Christ through a true saint of the Lord, a prophet that wants to prophesy to him, that will not be afraid to tell them to their face of how that they're falling away from the Lord. And so you don't care whether their souls go to hell. And so you're going to hell. Because we have to sow mercy in order to beget it. And mercy is not having a theory of the people on the streets where you don't snitch on anybody, or like a prison, or you don't tell on people. Because you don't want to be a snitch. The Lord is different than mere people on the streets or in prisons. He tells you to watch and to judge and to take matters of judgment to the saints. And if you are not a saint, you're not doing that. And to bring them to the elders of the church for correction. That's why I say that a lot of people in the church are not Christians, and that they're just eating and sucking up the food and the drink in the church, and just paddling like dog paddling in the church, treading water, until finally their life is over and they're cast into hell. Then what?
Quote, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their couches. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand."
Yeah, let you all, if you're a saint, that is, he's saying, the psalmist. The word of God in your hand to execute vengeance and judgment upon the world. And first of all, judgment begins at the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you don't do that. So that means you're not a Christian. You're not one that prophesies. And every true Christian prophesies and judges. All the saints judge. Of all the saints, he says. Amen?
Amen.
A-L-L. And so, if you're not one that judges, then you're surely not going to change your evil way of your lifestyle if you ever were let in heaven. How would God let you judge the world, the angels, and the saints? No, the work that is to be done, so far as judging is concerned, is to be here and in the church, because those that are not of the Lord are to be put out. And anyone that would defy that sort of the Word of God, anyone that wouldn't do that, this is one of the most sinister, evil sins on the face of this earth. And you're guilty of it, according to the Word of God. Now, that's why I say you don't have faith, and we're saved by faith. We have our victory by our faith. And what is our faith, John says? Even our, what is our victory? Even our faith. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't have any victory, therefore you don't have any hope. Therefore you're always worried. You don't want to report him. Oh, I just don't want to get into it, is what you say. I just know that there's going to be a big flurry out of that person, and so I just didn't report him. Not until they report you. And then you bring it out, you phony, you liar, you hypocrite. The Lord knows. He knoweth you. Then what?
Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people.
Right, and there's heathen in the church because they don't prophesy, they don't judge. They don't do any of the things that the Lord tells them to do. They let the devil overrun the church. And you think of the home church yet. And do you think God is going to pardon you? Forget about it. Then what else?
To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron.
I have to do these things in this church, the home church, in order for me to be able to have the privilege and the honor to be able to do that to nobles and kings and whoever in the world. Because if I were calling them to order and I were not in order myself, I didn't take control of my own house, I wouldn't be able to take control of the church, nor would I. And if I can't take care of the house and my church and my children and my wife, then how could I bring the world to order? Well, I thought we were just supposed to be nice and just be quiet and not say anything. No, you're supposed to be prophesying. You're supposed to be judging. And there was a reed like unto a rod given to John, and to judge the temple and the altar and those that worship in the temple. That means everybody that's in this home church is to be judged. And it's obvious there's a lot of people in the church that don't do that. They'll report baby Christians because they know that they're not hip to them. And they come down on baby Christians with cruelty, and this is not the love of Christ. There's no tenderness or mercy, tender mercies in them. And then the parents, if you they won't chasten the children, and therefore if I do, well, then they'd take it as a personal offense against them, and I could care less because I'm interested in serving the Lord, not you or any one of your children. So then what?
To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all the saints.
All the saints. Now, you're not a saint that judges here, because you're not going to go not judge the evil in the world. If you're not doing that here, you're not going to do it in heaven. You know why? Because you're not a saint. You're a phony, a hypocrite. And God knows it, and if I know it, it's for sure God knows it. Amen? And you know it yourself. And you're not ashamed of it. Okay, then what?
That was Psalm 149, verses 5 through 9.
So if you want to know where Psalm 149 is, it's one psalm before the end of the 150th psalm, right? Then what?
The kind of faith God states we must have. Today it is more obvious than ever what God has instructed us to have, and it is to be known.
What kind of faith are we supposed to have? Nobody cotton-picking knows. Anybody know? Who said that? Yeah, Sally. I've been saying it all along, and you're the only one that piped up. Justifiable faith. It has to be justifiable before God. He's the one that's going to justify. If you've got justifiable faith or temporary faith or some other magnificent faith that doesn't mean anything. Okay, then go ahead.
Today it is more obvious than ever what God has instructed us to have, and it is to be known if we consider the use and the end for which God has commanded to we who are Christians.
Why do we, what does it mean? Tell me what that means, then, you. If we consider what?
The use and the end for which God has commanded to we who are Christians.
Okay, what does that mean? What is faith, justifiable faith, used for? The use of justifiable faith. Sally? No, to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what the use is, isn't it? The shield of faith? Yeah, that's part of it. But it's actually, Paul said it was to quench all the fiery darts. The Spirit, through Paul, said to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And the world is filled full of fiery darts. And the church is filled full of fiery darts. It's filled with Satan. Because people take on fiery darts. And one of them is they say, well, I can tell that they've been hit by a fiery dart. And they say, I just don't want to report to anybody because I just can't stand it. I just can't stand it. Because I'm a fruit, a fairy, a faggot, a lesbian. I just can't stand to fight against Satan. I just can't. I have to let Satan have me. Well, then you don't care whether the Lord has you, and therefore you're going to hell. That's simple. I'm trying to say it in words that people understand today. Because the world understands fairy, fruit, faggot, lesbo, bull dyke, don't they? Okay, read that again.
Today it is more obvious than ever what God has instructed us to have, and it is to be known if we consider the use and the end for which God has commanded to we who are Christians and wish to continue being Christians.
Right. So if we don't know the use of justifiable faith to quench all the fiery darts, then we never put it up. We never put up the shield of faith. Because you just figure it's of no value, because you think that Christ is a jive and the Word of God is baloney. No, you're baloney. You. You're a jive. And you'll find out at the judgment bar of God. You'll wake up then, and it'll be too late. Everyone is like Mickey Mouse today. I mean, I see them on television, and they don't preach this hard, cold truth. And that's what the Lord tells me to judge with, is the truth. This is truth, what I'm saying to you, all right?
Amen.
And you cannot, if you disbelieve truth, then you cannot be saved, because we're saved by our faith in the truth. Not by anything else, not by your personality, because your personalities stink. You couldn't get through the front door with your personality down at the store. You can't go and ask them for a cheeseburger with your looks. They'll throw you out. So that's the use, is to quench all the fiery darts of Satan so that you can have hope. If you're getting hit with fiery darts all day long, you don't have any hope and you know it. And you're bummed out and depressed all the time because you know you're not saved. Because you don't use the shield of faith for justification so that God will justify you. But you receive everything from Satan. You say, well, I don't commit adultery or fornication. Your moral life doesn't have anything to do with it, but you don't prophesy. You don't use the armor of God. You don't have it on. And you're full of fiery darts. You don't report Satan in the church. And so you're not justified because you don't have the right kind of faith, justifiable faith. Then go ahead.
The kind of faith we need is the kind that will, quote, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
You want to, don't I have a scripture marked there?
No.
Okay, well, go ahead, keep going. I have it marked down later then, right?
Yes.
Okay, keep going.
He, God, means the fiery darts of the wicked one, the devil.
This is what the Lord means, the fiery darts of what? Of the wicked. He means the fiery darts of the wicked one, the devil. Satan. And Satan operates out of people in the world. All the baloney you hear on television, on radio, in books, is all fiery darts from Satan for you to receive. And all the phony excuses that people have in the church for not reporting the devil in the church and for not prophesying. Well, I don't want to, like Susie says, I don't want to because they're just going to fall away. They're just going to, she bought that. That was a fiery dart. And you tried to pass it on to me. And I wasn't taken. I said, you'll die. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not going to receive that. Well, I just can't. I'm sick. Well, if you want to be healed, then you have to. Why are so many people sick? Why are so many people not receiving anything from the Lord? It's because you're full of fiery darts. And even after a message like this, you'll probably just go away and your carnal, ignorant mind and stupid mind and evil mind will probably just explain it away to you. Because I've given messages such as this before, and still there's very few people that report anything of Satan in the church before it's too late. It's just absolutely too late because they throw young Christian souls, and they throw each other's souls. They just say, I can't handle it no more, and I'm going off into the sunset. It wasn't reported to me that this young baby Christian was just let to go in Nashville when Mark Kanin called up and stated that he's flipping out. He said he wants to leave. And I says, well, all right, he can leave, you know, when you come home, is what I meant. And we get him a ticket and send him home on the bus and give me a chance to explain. No, he just turned him loose on the streets of Nashville, and then the police, he started acting crazy at the police station because he knew that the love of God was not in Mark. And he just let him go. Instead of explaining, okay, we'll let you go when you come. You got things over at the church, and we'll come in with us, and we'll take care of that. And Tony will want to talk to you again before you leave. Because you don't care. And it caused a terrible shame out there because he started throwing a fit out the airport. And then they reported to the police, and now they've got him in a mental institution. And I had to explain to the police officer that, I said, you're a Christian yourself, are you not, officer? And he said, yes. I said, well, you know that when young baby Christians are not able to discern many times the difference between the spirit of the Lord and the spirit of Satan. And that's what's happening to this young man right now. And of course, we didn't have Mark. It doesn't matter how long he's in the Lord. He's not going to be an older Christian. Or he's not going to be a saint. He's not going to have mercy and sow mercy and unto the different people and do the right thing. when even people out in the world would do the right thing. He just turned him loose on the streets. What kind of a person is that? That isn't, in my eyes, a Christian. Okay, then what else?
Yes, there are several kinds of faith.
Yeah, there are several kinds of faith. Many, many different kinds, but there's only one of them that works to get you into the kingdom of heaven. And I think I want to put this in my next newsletter so that people can understand that, because there's so many millions of people, maybe even a billion of them, that say they have faith because they read and pray and go to church, but that isn't justifiable faith in the eyes of the Lord. That won't get him into heaven. And it's not merciful to know these things and not convey them to everyone in the church and the world. Okay, go ahead.
Among them, there is the kind of faith for Christians to quench the devil's fiery dart. Yes, all his fiery darts, Ephesians 6:16.
Okay, read it.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Yeah, and if you're letting all kinds of things slide, you let the devil fire his darts, fiery darts, into you. And all you need is one to kill you. And all you need to do is let baby Christians get one fiery dart. And I just noticed that they say, this Christian said this to me, and this other one that came in, it was like heaps of imps, demons, devils in the church that just, when one hits and they see that the babe is weakened, and then they go in and start firing all their evil, wicked words into them as well. There's not one strong person that will come in and help them, and they fall away like flies. Then what else?
Historical faith cannot do it.
No, because you read the Bible and you read of history and all that is, and you know the Bible, that's historical faith. That doesn't get you into heaven, knowing that. Well, we know that Moses and all these different people and Abraham, the Lord spoke to him, and that's the kind of faith Abraham had. But that isn't the kind that you have. You just know historical faith of others. That doesn't help you. You have to show your faith by the works. You have to report the devil, no matter how enraged he gets at you. Otherwise, you're the scum of the earth. You're worse than those out in the world. Okay, then what?
Historical faith cannot do it. Therefore, historical faith is not the kind we need to quench all of Satan's fiery darts. This kind of faith is so far from the right kind of faith that the devil himself, the one who shoots the fiery darts, uses this kind of faith.
Yeah, he uses it himself. That's the kind of faith you're using. The same faith that the devil uses. And Satan, I can assure you, will never be justified by the Lord. Okay, then what?
Quote, the devils believe, James 2:19.
Yeah, they have faith. Historical faith. They know that God is going to judge them. And they know that their time is short. You don't, but the devil does. The devil may not be finally judged before you. You might die today. And then comes the judgment. So he believes all these things, and he knows that Christ defeated him. And you know that too. So you just have the same kind of faith as the devil has. Historical faith. Yeah, that's the history. Mm-hmm. You know about Abraham, the father of faith. Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm. But how does that help you when you let the devil run rampant in the church? And when you let yourself, your flesh, take over. When you lie. And usurp authority. And you don't report the evil. And you don't prophesy evil. You don't prophesy the word of God against the evil in the world. Then go ahead.
Quote, the devils also believe and tremble, James 2:19.
Read it. Go read a little bit more of it, too. Go about the verse before.
Okay. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works.
Without reporting the devil and everything. And I'll show you my faith by rebuking the devil, you lying scum. You nothing. Punk. You creep that would allow Satan to invade the home church. You phony. And I'm judging. And I have to put people like you that throw human souls outside with the Gentiles. Because judgment begins at the house of God. And what kind of a person would I be if I just let you unfaithful people, you people with historical faith or some other kind of faith, be in the church? Because you're a stigma and you throw human souls and you see them falling and you don't care. There isn't an ounce of mercy in you and you're not going to receive any mercy. How long you've been in the church, some of you have been born and raised here. Some of you have been in here for 10, 15, 20, 25, and 30, and 33, 34 years. And you're still a nothing. Okay, go ahead.
Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works.
Then what?
Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
So what good are you? Are you any better than the devil? Okay, then read the next verse after that.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?
Yeah, you're dead. You don't have any works. You're concerned about your stinking self and your emotions more than you are about having faith that'll justify God letting you into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let's go on with the rest of the message.
Temporary faith cannot do it.
Okay, here's another kind of faith. Temporary kind of faith. That won't quench all the fiery darts of the devil either, will it? Okay, then what?
This kind of faith is so far from quenching the devil's, Satan's, fiery darts, that this kind of faith itself is quenched by them.
Yeah, that kind of faith is quenched by the fiery darts. Then what?
It makes a very good blaze of profession.
Yeah, oh, I believe in Jesus, I get up and testify, I love to exalt myself in the service. Then what?
And endures for a while, Matthew 13:21.
Read it. And go about three verses before that.
Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside.
Temporary faith. Then what?
But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it.
Yeah, he's just a blaze of glory. Go, praise the Lord, hallelujah, amen, Jesus. I just want to do it. But anytime any kind of persecution, you report somebody and they start railing on you and you don't report them for doing that, and then you just fall away because you can't handle it. You're too tender. Like a queer. Yeah, it's not the power, overcoming power of the Almighty God, of Jesus, is it?
No.
Who fought Satan on the Mount of Temptation and whipped him like a dog, and he went away like a dog? No, you're a queer. Then what?
Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while.
Temporarily. Then what?
For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended.
He's offended and just falls away and goes off into the sunset, or crawls up into a shell and doesn't want to leave the church, but just stays in there, sucking up all the benefits. But then the Lord says, he's got a surprise for him. He says, okay, now measure these people that worship in the church, or find out if they are worshiping. And if they're not, get them out. Because they don't have any root in them. They're just a bunch of nothings. The Lord is like a construction man. He takes the good materials, the people that have justifiable faith, and builds the building with that. And then he sees those that have temporary faith, he just takes them and discards them. He doesn't give them a second thought. He doesn't even judge them. He just says, put them outside with the Gentiles. Amen?
Amen.
He doesn't say, do anything else to them. Just get them out of the church. Weed them out. Right? They're not on the altar. Because you measure the altar, they're not heaps of ashes that just are putty in the hands of the Lord that do anything that he wants them to do. No, they're just a bunch of crumb bums. They're not even on the altar. They're not even touching the altar. They don't even think about the altar. They don't think about themselves as being a sacrifice. They're just users, using the blessings of the Lord and not at all caring whether Satan takes the place over or not. And they're not prophets. They don't never prophesy. You never hear them saying anything. They'll mention some stupid thing about, you know, or give you some kind of a testimony of somebody else. But they have not. Okay, go ahead.
The miraculous kind of faith falls as short as the temporary kind.
Right. It's a temporary. Now there's a miraculous kind of faith. Go ahead.
The miraculous faith of Judas is what he had with the other apostles.
Yeah. He healed people. And he preached the gospel. He read and prayed. He cast out devils. Didn't he?
Yes.
Didn't he?
Yes.
Okay, well then answer. Because the Bible, if you have a justifiable faith, then you have to start saying, making your yea, yea, and your nay, nay, because I'm tired of talking to you children, and you just don't answer, because you're taking a fiery dart from maybe somebody else in this house or in the school, and you're just using that as your morbid type personality. And you are very morbid that just sit there like mannequins and don't even open your mouth. You don't speak. And the Lord tells you, speak. All right?
Yes.
Well, that's why he put a tongue in your head. Okay, now go ahead.
We can read about it. The faith which enabled him to cast devils out of others caused him...
No, that's miraculous faith. Right? We can read about it in the Bible. Then what?
The faith which enabled him to cast devils out of others caused him to be possessed with devils of covetousness, hypocrisy, and treason. Yea, an entire legion of lusts that hurried him down the hill of despair and into the bottomless pit of perdition, then into the lake of fire forever.
Yeah, so miraculous faith. I mean, if you've done something years and years ago or something for the Lord, and then you saw miracles, because at one time maybe you did believe, but it was temporary belief, faith. And then you saw miraculous, you had a miraculous kind of faith because you saw some miracles. But you know better than Judas Iscariot. Go ahead, what else?
There is only one other kind of faith remaining which Paul speaks of in this place, and it is justifying faith, which is justifiable before God.
And it's the only one that's justifiable before God. Is the one that works, does the works of the Lord. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. If you don't have any works in you, you don't have any faith, and I have to judge you and get you out because you're throwing other souls. That's obvious. They don't stay. There's no mercy to keep them afloat upon the rock, solid rock, Christ Jesus, by the Lord's Spirit living in you and prophesying out of you his words of life. You don't drink and eat. You like to hear about the Bible, but you don't do what the Bible says. So you're hypocrites. Then what else?
This kind of faith is for sure a power of God in those who have it, more than the devil's match.
Yeah, well, that means if you have justifiable faith, then you are more than the devil's match. When you're out in the field, out in the world, and you are hearing things being said to you or to others, and you see things going on, you don't receive them because you raise up the shield of faith to ward off the fiery darts, and then you prophesy to these wicked people in this world as to what the Lord says and what kind of judgment they're going to stand for not obeying what he says. And you do that in the church as well, because people are coming in to the church from my literature, and they're seeing, what they're telling me is that they don't see the same caliber of person in the church to match up with the literature. They just see a bunch of, they say, phonies and sweet smiles and malarkey, garbage, baloney, sausage. Then what?
Satan has no advantage of the Christian by the use of Satan's natural abilities.
Right. There's no nothing that the devil can do against a person that is fully armored and uses the shield of faith to ward off all, to quench all his fiery darts. And from everybody in the world that Satan is using to hurl fiery darts at people, at you, at the Christian. This is justifiable faith. Then go ahead and read that.
John, in his spirit, in the spirit of the Lord, is very confident to give the victory to the Christian.
Yeah, and to give the day to the Christian. Because that's the way the day belongs to the Christian, not the devil. Because we're to live one day at a time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and if the devil shoots you through with a fiery dart, the day belonged to the devil then. And if you let him fire fiery darts into the church, then the day belongs to the devil in that church where you were, and you knew better, and you're responsible, and you're going to be judged for it. By the kind of judgment I'm talking about, because I'm talking about the same judgment that the Lord talks about. I'm just telling you what he says. Okay, read it.
Even before the fight is fully over, he says, quote, ye have overcome the wicked one, 1 John 2:13.
Okay, read it. And read about one verse before that.
I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one.
You overcome. Because they had the victory. And faith is the victory. Justifiable faith. Not temporary faith. Not miraculous faith. Not any other faith. Then what?
I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father.
Read the line just before that.
I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one.
All right. How do you overcome the wicked one?
Faith.
By your faith, to quench all the fiery darts from the wicked one. But you're not doing it. You're not using the shield of faith, and so you're not obeying the commandment of the Lord. Above everything that you do in this life, you're to take up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then and only then are you able to overcome the wicked one. Okay, then what?
He says, you have overcome the wicked one, because, which is to say, you are the victor. You are sure you shall be in heaven.
Right. Because if you know that you're really saved and that you've overcome the wicked one, then you know you're for sure going to heaven, right?
Amen.
Then you know for sure you're saved. But if you don't do what the Lord says, you know you're not saved. And that's why you got long, morbid faces. That's why you look like you're full of conviction. And some of you that don't have any intention, you don't believe it, there's no conviction on your face at all because you've been seared over. You don't have a conscience. The Lord's Spirit is not able to trouble your conscience. Your conscience seared. Nothing affects you. Then what?
You are saved and on your way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit through this apostle tells us, quote,
the same apostle tells us what?
This is the victory, even our faith, 1 John 5:4.
Read it, so that you know I'm not lying to you.
For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world.
Yeah, and almost God overcometh the devil too. You don't let the world enter the church. You don't let the devil enter the church. You overcome the devil that tries to get into the church, and the world that tries to get into the church. These idiots, kids that are wearing baseball hats back way, wearing baggy pants to the church, you don't report them. They're doing all kinds of other things. Well, you know, that's the time that we're... Well, all this sort of thing. You know, this is something that you know very good and well, that you're letting the devil overcome you and enter into the church. I don't want any part of the devil, and I don't want any part of the world. And the Lord doesn't want that either, all right? You don't have faith. You've just let... you have faith in Satan, in the world. Keep going.
And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes, the faith in the Lord to reject everything of the world and of the devil and of your flesh and of your children's flesh. And you have to straighten your children out, or I'm going to put you out. I've been hearing too much from certain people's kids. They're in Muldrow or Moffitt, wherever it is, and Fort Smith, and wherever. Okay, so we have to be concerned about being justified before the Lord. And to be justified, we have to have the faith that in our soul makes us have the will to do what the Lord says, because I've been doing a lot on knowledge. But knowledge is not enough. You have to, if you even have knowledge of the Lord, you still have to couple it with your will to do what the knowledge tells you to do. Don't you think? So, you know, concentrate on that, meditate on that, you know, until another message on this same subject. And because you all say that you're not able to retain too much at one time, and so I'll end the message now by saying praise the Lord, and I pray that you receive this message of the knowledge of justifiable faith, and it takes your will along with knowledge and put it to work, your faith, in order to be just, have the faith that's justified before God. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. See you in the next tape.